This is JDSA's Law Talk, the program that gives you straight facts on our laws and answers questions about the topics that may affect your everyday personal and professional life.
Cannabis. It's an emerging industry. If you're a grower, producer, or retailer in this budding industry, pardon the pun, maybe not, you're in luck. Today's episode is just for you. In this episode of JDSA's Law Talk, attorney Lindsay Weidenbach joins the show as we discuss cannabis in Washington State and how changes keep growing. Lindsay, puns aside, this is a rapidly evolving area of business and law here in the Evergreen State.
Yes, it is. It's very exciting, Clint.
Can't wait to cover all of the different facets of this, and there are a ton of them. It's coming your way next, right here on JDSA's Law Talk.
You're listening to JDSA's Law Talk, brought to you by JDSA Law, one of the largest full-service law firms in North Central Washington.
Welcome back to JDSA's Law Talk. Learn more about this and other legal topics on our blog on jdsalaw.com. I'm your host, Clint Strand. We're talking with our featured attorney, Lindsay Weidenbach, about the cannabis industry and how this is such a rapidly evolving and changing industry, not only nationwide, but here in the state of Washington. So let's get down to the basics. When we hear of Washington's cannabis industry, what does that primarily include?
Well, Washington is one of seven states that have approved recreational adult use of marijuana. And all of the states have sort of a different nomenclature on what they call their licensees. Here in Washington, our licensees are producers. Those would be your growers, processors who either just dry the flower or turn it into different substances, and then your retailers.
Obviously, this is a rapidly evolving industry. So let's talk about recent changes in Washington state law.
Yes, we've had a lot of them. This law was passed in 2012. The regulations were rolled out in 2013. And ever since then, we have been getting emergency rules, notices, and most recently, Governor Jay Inslee signed Senate Bill 5131 into law. There were a few other minor laws that changed marijuana as well, but that was the big one. And those changes went into effect July 23rd.
Okay, very good. So what do those changes entail?
Yeah, they cover lots and lots of different topics within the industry. The one that I found the most fascinating was over consulting and licensing agreements. Presumably, these agreements were always allowed in the industry because there's no regulation against them. But now the LCB wants to see them, and Liquor and Cannabis Board. Mm-hmm. And they want to see them to make sure that licensees aren't profit sharing. There's a regulation where between licensees, you cannot share profits. And so they want to make sure that these agreements that folks are entering into abide by the regulations.
Lots more to this. Shameless plug. You can see a recent blog post covering this very topic on jdsalaw.com where you break it down fairly well, right?
Yes. Cover it in 10 points, I believe.
Okay. What about the DIY marijuana grow? Home grows and purchasing plants. What about that?
Yeah, Washington's starting to dip its toes into home grow. They are going to start allowing the cooperatives and medical home grows to purchase plants from producers, recreational producers. But recreationally, you cannot home grow.
Okay, no ambiguity there. Recreationally, no home grow.
No home grow. It runs too close to the line on the Cole Memorandum, which we discussed at the last blog or the last podcast.
Which you can find at jdsalaw.com. Let's talk about franchisees, retail license expansion. Can you expand?
You can, yes. Retail licenses are now, you're allowed to hold up to 5 licenses per person or entity. And they also expanded the producer license. And that was a very recent notice. We just got that. And that was a notice that says, hey, look, we're going to repeal our prior emergency rule that allowed only 1 license per producer. And now you can expand canopy and hold up to 3 licenses.
So basic math, my 8-year-old would be proud. You have 3 licenses, potentially, if you're a producer, if you're growing it, 5 licenses if you're a retailer.
Correct.
Can you have 8 licenses total?
Oh, no. No. In Washington, you cannot hold a producer or a processor license and a retail license. You can produce and process, but you cannot do either of those 2 things and sell.
One or the other, but not both.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Very good. What about, and I so want to put air quotes over this, but I'm not because it is legitimate. What about marijuana research?
Yeah, I like this change. And I think it shows that the state is really looking at how to legitimize the industry and how to maybe get the federal players to open their eyes a little bit. And so Washington is now allowing you to apply for and grab a research license, you have to have a pretty robust application that shows all the reasons why you want to do research and what exactly you're researching, what your plan is, all of that kind of good stuff. But this would allow you to do that.
So long story short, we'll consider it, but you better be pretty detailed in your reasoning why.
You have to be very serious.
We talked about this very briefly in another conversation, but let's talk about advertisements once again.
Yeah, and these were big changes, and these almost completely affect only the retail licenses. But what happened was there were a bunch of billboards that folks were upset with, and they lobbied pretty hard at the state to change this rule. And so now your advertisement can only say your trade name, the location of your business, and the nature of your business, i.e. marijuana. You cannot have transportation billboards, you know, stuff on the sides of buses anymore. No mascots, toys, banners, inflatables, none of that kind of thing. And your sign has to be affixed to your building.
Okay, very good. What about a crop that is related to marijuana, but you certainly can't smoke it? Industrial hemp.
Yes.
Different deal, but also kind of lumped in under the same umbrella.
And Clint, I could talk for a while on the background of how hemp even got lumped in with marijuana. It's fascinating stuff, and it goes all the way back to the 30s. But hemp has only similar qualities to marijuana. And so it was under the Controlled Substances Act in 1970. It got lumped into the kind of plant matter of what marijuana is and was then prohibited. And so now you're seeing states that have rolled out recreational marijuana take another look at hemp also. And Washington's doing that now and has just started its licensing process.
All right. Uncle Joe has a birthday. Thinking about giving him some pot. Can I do it?
You can.
Really?
Well, now you can.
Okay.
Most people didn't know this, but before that House bill came down, you could not gift cannabis. But now that they've changed that rule, if your Uncle Joe would like the president of cannabis, you could go to a retail store, buy him some cannabis. As long as you don't take it out of the package, you're good to go.
As long as you don't take it out of the package.
It has to stay in its original packaging.
Some people may scoff at what I'm about to say, but you know what? You pay the premium for the organic pluots at the grocery section. This is an agricultural good. What about organic cannabis?
They're coming out with it.
Stop it.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and actually the Okanagan growers really have pushed hard for this. And it's near and dear to their heart, but there's a long pesticide list. Most cannabis is grown fairly organic anyway, so it's going to be a small change. It's going to be a state organic certification, and soon enough, you'll be able to buy organic cannabis.
All right. What if you are on the Colville or Yakima reservation? Do the rules change?
They will change. The tribes have their own rules, but you can apply for a license, and as long as the tribe agrees with you, you can grow.
Again, this is an agricultural product, and any agricultural product is subject to inspection, whether you're talking about apples, once again, or apricots or pears. What about pot?
Definitely. Yes. Every licensee has an enforcement officer, and enforcement officers are assigned by geographical jurisdiction. And so your enforcement officer can now come in, they'll have to give you a bit of notice, and they can just do a random inspection to make sure that you're abiding by all of the rules and regulations.
Very good. There's a lot more to this than what we've just covered. Of course, it takes water to grow cannabis, and of course, you need to employ people to do the work. We'll talk about those facets next on JDSA's Law Talk.
This is JDSA's Law Talk. Join the conversation. Send us your comments and questions to lawtalk@jdsalaw.com.
Cannabis Law. It regulates marijuana production, sale, and use. At JDSA Law, we help growers, producers, and retailers understand this emerging industry. This is how we make your life better. Committed to you since 1946. JDSA Law.
This is JDSA's Law Talk. Hear more Law Talk programs now at jdsalaw.com.
Welcome back to JDSA's Law Talk. Make sure you stay up to date with legal matters that may affect you by reading our news and articles on jdsalaw.com. I'm Clint Strand. We're talking with our featured attorney, Lindsay Weidenbach, about cannabis issues in business. We covered a lot of ground. Let's cover a little bit more. Let's jump in with both feet. Water law. How does this affect the cannabis industry?
It's multifaceted. So we go back to the federal versus state issue. The state of Washington has the Department of Ecology, and the Department of Ecology is allowing folks to use state water to grow cannabis. But the Bureau of Reclamation, which is a federal agency, is not.
So to be clear, state water, okay. Bureau of Reclamation, aka federal water, not clear to use. How does this resolve itself here in our local area?
Really, it comes down to a few things, and it's the county code that we're looking at, so it depends on the county. And what the counties are really worried about right now is a case called Hertz, and the Hertz decision is sort of the nomenclature that's used. And you see this a lot with especially Okanagan County, which is requiring people to put in a conditional use permit. Right now they have a moratorium going on, but you have to submit a conditional use permit. And as part of that process, you have to prove that your water rights are senior and are not disrupting an in-stream flow, which would be contrary to the Hertz decision.
Now, it would be more likely to disrupt an in-stream flow if it used more water. I don't think people really know. I don't know. How thirsty a crop is pot?
Pot's pretty thirsty, especially the outdoor crop, which you see a lot of in this area. Some of the indoor grow operations are really sophisticated, and they have a circular water system which reuses their water. And so they don't use a ton of water on the indoor, but the outdoor grow operations are pretty thirsty.
Okay, let's get back to the Hearst decision, what you're referring to. Is there even a timeline that folks in the law community are even looking at for this being resolved, or is this, we're in the middle of it?
We're in the middle of it right now, but there's an effort in the legislature to work that out, and Governor Inslee was definitely urged to make a fix for that when passing the budget.
All of this is a moot point if we don't have people to help grow the cannabis, to process it, and of course to sell it. You need employees. So how does employment law settle with the cannabis industry right now?
You know, Clint, I'm seeing an uptick in employment issues in cannabis law. And I think the reason is that when businesses were first getting off the ground, people were really concerned about the regulations, keeping the lights on, their taxes, their overhead. They just wanted to grow. And now that we're a little bit solidified, you're seeing other issues crop up, pun intended. One of that being employment. And lots of people employed their friends or their family members, and they don't have any paperwork for that. They didn't have employment agreements. And so you get into a situation where maybe your buddy isn't the greatest of employee. And do you fire your friend? Do you ruin that relationship? And then what happens if you have a situation that you need to sit two people down and work out some conflict resolution? What's the process for that? Most cannabis businesses don't have employment handbooks.
It feels like we're looking at two things rubbing up against each other, a very highly regulated workplace and a handshake job economy. Those don't seem to work too well together.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Do you see those business owners starting to get the message that perhaps we need to put things down on paper a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely seeing an uptick in that. And really, the way to solve that is a good employee handbook and good employee training, an HR director, those sorts of things.
What about from the other standpoint, from the employee perspective, in that someone may be coming to you, look, this is a growing industry, pun intended. I want to get in on the ground floor of this. But gosh, I'm a little worried about filling out my I-9 or W-4 when this is, again, an industry that's not exactly looked on with favor by the federal government. Is this okay? Like, do you see those questions coming to you from potential employees?
I don't see them coming to me before, but I see them coming up as issues. So you see folks that have a legitimate personal checking account, and they go and deposit their paycheck from a marijuana licensee, and the bank then says, I'm sorry, but you can no longer bank here.
That happens.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, because not only for the businesses that deposit their money, but if you're getting your paycheck from that businesses, it's touched by that.
Or try getting a home loan.
Oh, dear.
You have to show that you have an income. And if it's cash, that's hard to prove. And if it's not cash, but it's from a cannabis company, then you do get some pushback.
So it sounds like if you're someone who is employed by the industry, but you're not a business owner, for all those great perks of being an American citizen, like trying to buy a home and all of that, you might be sunk.
Yes, you're seeing some issues, but the credit unions that we talked about in the last episode, Solal Credit Union and Numerica Credit Union, they're working with the industry and they will also allow you to open just a personal checking account or get credit from them.
So there are options available.
Yes.
Okay, very good. We are talking once again with our featured attorney, Lindsay Weidenbach, about a cannabis industry and the recent trends, how this is growing and how this is evolving. We'll bring it all together coming your way next right here on JDSA's Law Talk.
This is JDSA's Law Talk. Connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at JDSA Law.
Water law. It can be full of challenges. At JDSA Law, we routinely review the laws that impact ownership, management, and protection of your water rights. This is how we make your life better. Committed to you since 1946. JDSA Law.
This is JDSA's Law Talk. Hear more programs and read in-depth articles on the law at jdsalaw.com.
Welcome back to JDSA's Law Talk. Find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at JDSA Law. We are talking with our JDSA featured attorney, Lindsay Weidenbach, about the cannabis industry. We have covered so much ground on this, Lindsay. I'm wondering how you'd like to bring this all together. Your final thoughts when we talk about this emerging and evolving and growing industry.
I think what I want people to understand and really get is that my clients are entrepreneurs and they're passionate individuals. This industry is full of people that are dreamers and they inspire me daily. This industry is so complex. It's moving all the time, and they are flexible. They roll with the punches, the regulations come down, and they adjust, and that is truly inspirational.
That's pretty great, and I have to imagine that it's gratifying to you as someone in the legal industry, as someone who is working hand-in-hand with these entrepreneurs and really relying on you for the business, for the direction that they need to make sure that their business continues to grow and thrive.
It's definitely a partnership.
JDSA has developed a handbook regarding this. I want you to talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's about 50 pages. I go over the regulations. It's called Maintaining Compliant Business Practices in the Washington Cannabis Industry. And I will update it after you purchase it and keep rolling with it. It goes over all types of licensees from producers, processors to retailers.
Very good. Lindsay, thanks so much. Appreciate the conversation.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to JDSA's Law Talk. Visit us at jdsalaw.com to hear more programs explaining how the law applies to your everyday personal and professional life. And most importantly, how the team of attorneys at JDSA Law can help you. I'm your host, Clint Strand. Thanks again for joining us on JDSA's Law Talk.
JDSA's Law Talk. Thanks for joining us. And please join us again next week. You can also join the conversation by sending us your comments and questions to lawtalk@jdsalaw.com. We'd love to include your questions in a future program. Topics covered in this program are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be professional advice. Always seek the advice of a relevant professional with any questions about any legal decision you seek to make. Thanks again for joining us on JDSA's Law Talk.